Welcome to the Eldritch Estate, an establishment dedicated to the bizarre, the dark, and all that is otherworldly. We invite our guests to come and stay a while, to enjoy the haunted hallways, the shrieks of terror and delight, to forget time in our enchantingly disturbing abode. Whether it's for an overnighter or a week-long stay, our hostesses will see to it that you are shocked, horrified, and left morbidly curious about the goings-on here at the estate. Will you take a trip with us? We can't wait for you to see what's in store.
Hello, and welcome back to the Eldritch Estate. I'm Dusty.
And I'm Katie.
And Katie's gonna take it away on this one.
Yeah. Did you want to go over, like, some business stuff?
I don't think we have any.
Okay. I was like, a question mark? Business?
Business?
I don't know.
We're still working on merch stuff. We have some pretty cool designs, but we don't want to share them until everything's, like, ready to go, you know?
So.
But we're working with some cool artists to get some nice stuff for you guys. And if you still have merch ideas, like sayings or slogans or even artwork that you think would be cool on a shirt or a sticker or a pin or something like that, let us know.
Tell us what you want.
Email us at theeldritchestate@gmail.com.
.com.
Dude.
Throwback.
My nostalgia was like,
Okay. I tried to find this fucking song everywhere on YouTube to show my coworker because I had one of those moments where you mention something and you think someone's the same age as you.
Yeah.
And then you find out that they're fucking not.
They're younger or whatever.
Yeah. Like, she's not that much younger than me, probably 26, 27.
Yeah.
But we were talking about Jerry Springer.
Okay.
And what channel that was on. And I was like, probably like fucking UPN 45 or some shit.
Yes. Oh my God.
And she's like, that was my shit when I was a kid. I'm like, that was every little kid's shit when you were like homesick from school or whatever.
Yeah. Or when you would like get home and, you know, done with your homework or didn't have homework that day, flip on the tube. All right. So is it paternity tests or lie detector?
Am I getting Maury Povich or Jerry Springer? And I asked her, like, I was like, her, are you a UPN 45 go-getter? And she's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I scoured YouTube and I could not find it.
Oh, that is unfortunate.
I know.
But UPN would have been a local station, so it might have been harder to find because of, well, it might not have been on YouTube because of that.
That's true.
I said something the other day about Crunchwraps, and I was like, it's good to go, and I did the hand thing, which, if you're the same age as we are, you're like, yes, I can see that commercial in my head. But the other person was like, yeah, because it's, like, a folded thing, right? And I was like, yeah, yep, it's good to go. And they were like, yeah.
Okay,
I was like,
Dusty.
I was like, damn it. Don't make me feel old right now. Fuck you.
Every once in a while, a client's kid will, like, stab me in the chest. I got one who was like, who's Cher? First of all, your mom ain't raising you right.
I'm Cher, bitch.
Second of all, the fuck do you not know who Cher is?
Cher is a rich man. That's what you should have said. I said, Mom, I am a rich man.
Alright, so I wanted to keep on with the, like, slightly lighter, fluffier, juicier, nicer stuff today.
The heavy stuff's coming. We just wanted to keep it light for a bit.
Guys, I'm pregnant, and I'm way too sad to do true crime right now. I told Dusty, I was like, I gotta go off of the episode list that we made originally. I'm sorry, but we're gonna talk about lobotomies.
Which, Dusty is a list person, so when you say we're going off the list, it's like, I start getting heart palpitations.
One time I took Dusty on the city bus, and I got off at the unplanned stop.
Okay, no. If you're gonna tell a story, you gotta tell it right. So, I don't even remember what the fuck we were doing, but we were in high school, so, like, we had no business being out and about as late as it was. It wasn't super late, but, like, it was past curfew. And we were like, we're gonna take the bus to such and such. Maybe we were at, like, a local Comic-Con or something like that? Like, one of those small ones in the comic book shops?
Yeah, because we're not too far off from that.
That comic book shop.
Yeah, I was gonna say, yeah. The comic book shop that makes sense.
Atomic Comics, yeah. But anyway, we were like, we're gonna take the bus to X location, and we gotta get off at such and such stop, and da 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 da. And then you know how it is, especially if you're the type of person that doesn't take the bus very often, which we're both from, like, bumfuck Arizona. There's no buses out here.
Okay,
we were in the city.
The fuck out of city buses. This is why I have no fear.
I have fear. City buses. So we're looking at the map and we're like, okay, so it's going to be this route and we're going to get off at this stop and then we're going to be right here and we'll be, you know, where we want to be. And we're on the bus and we start to realize, like, we maybe are not getting off at the right stop that we should be getting off. And so I start panicking. I'm like, well, should we get off at the stop that we originally planned? Or, like, do we have enough time to look at the map again? Like, what should we do? Like, I'm thinking, and Katie just fucking gets off the bus.
Like, I'm getting off the bus and she's like, you're not fucking getting off the bus. I'm like, no, I'm getting off the bus.
This bitch walked off the bus at the very next stop. And I was like
the greasy heart of downtown Mesa.
I was like, this is not on the plan. You can't just get off the bus. And I was like, for real, freaked and like a little mad.
Big mad.
Big mad.
Okay, I think about it and I'm like, no, we've only had one fight. No, I think we've had two fights.
Yeah. The other time was
I called her slow.
She called me slow. It's when we worked together, too. It's rough to work together sometimes.
I just pointed a one-eyed dog at her, and she was fine eventually.
She just picked up this, like, 5-pound one-eyed Yorkie and, like, pointed it at me and was like, look at how cute this dog is. You can't be mad anymore.
It's like when you're in a really long-term relationship and you get in a fight and you gotta just ask some bullshit question. Like, hey, when you went in the kitchen last time, was the oven still in there?
Yeah. Hey, did you get tortillas when you went to the store?
Just anything to break that awkward
you just
fight
gotta,
silence.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know this fucking dog's cute.
So, yeah.
So anyway, we're going to talk about lobotomies because I got off the bus.
Katie got off the bus of the episode plans, but it's okay.
I always tend to joke about, like, what kind of fucking psycho was the first person to perform a surgery? Like, how'd they find out someone could live with modified insides?
I think about this a lot.
How many failures did it take you to get there? Like, how many people died before they were like, oh yeah, it's the appendix that needs to come out?
Yeah, or whether we figured out, like, oh, so, like, you can't eat those berries, but you can eat these ones. Or, like, these mushrooms are okay.
How many
these
people
ones
died?
Are fun, and these ones will fucking kill you.
This one makes the walls wavy. That one will make you shit yourself to death.
Oh, so we can squeeze the cow's udders, too, and drink that. Not just, like who thinks
Who's
of these
the
things?
Who's the first person who did that?
Who sucked on a cow titty? Who
I
want to
know the origin story of the cow milk.
Even in regards to surgeries, like plastic surgery and fillers and shit like that. Like, I read a story about how some lady in Mexico got a terrible infection, and I think she might have died because they were basically using, like, construction materials in her filler. Like, they put fucking concrete in her booty.
Yep. Dude, I've watched a lot of
Botched. Botched is such good dumpster fire TV.
It really is, though. But, like, I don't know, you gotta be some sick fuck to be the first person to do that, right?
Well, and we're also talking about, like, a time period when they were like, oh, something's wrong with her.
Hysteria.
We should probably cut her whole arm off. I think that'll fix it. Like,
bite this leather strap, honey.
I'm gonna put this spoon up your nose and scramble your brain around and you'll feel better afterwards, I swear.
Ooh, dude, it's brutal.
I'm gonna let these leeches suck the evil out of you.
I had a client come back one day with, seriously, imagine being the guy who was sold on the idea of jamming an ice pick into someone's eye socket because, you know, his brain was broken. And that really, really made me wonder what kind of fucking psychopath puts an ice pick in someone's brain.
On God.
So first, let's talk about the basics. You may be wondering, what is a lobotomy?
Yeah. What is a lobotomy?
If you haven't gotten the clue yet, it's where you put a fucking ice pick in someone's eye socket and you scramble their brain like an egg. Lobotomy, or leucotomy, depending on what tool you're using, is a form of psychosurgery, a neurosurgical treatment of a mental disorder that involves severing the connections in the brain's prefrontal cortex.
The prefrontal cortex, which is in charge of decision-making and forethought.
Are we gonna get into that?
I always talk about how, like, that's why children do things, and you'll talk to them, and you'll be like, why did you do that? And they'll be like, I don't know. It's the truth. They literally don't know.
Prefrontal cortex not developed.
Not developed yet. And for, I think, adult males, it's not done fully forming until around the age of 25. If you did some dumb shit in your early 20s, I mean, it's still some dumb shit, but you're only partially to blame, because your brain wasn't done developing yet.
Okay, we need to Google how old Walter Freeman was when he started doing lobotomies. So the surgery causes most of the connections to the brain and the to and from the prefrontal cortex, the anterior part of the frontal lobes of the brain, to be severed.
Oh, okay.
So you're basically, like, unfucking plugging the prefrontal cortex. And reminder, the basic activity of this brain region is considered to be the orchestration of thoughts. Again, this creates the orchestration of your thoughts.
This is
what we're unplugging.
Yeah. How the thoughts work together and make sense, and the train of thought.
And what puts that all together with, like, internal goals. And a lot of people have found an integral... I hate that word.
Integral.
Thank you. Link between a person's will to live, their personality, and the functions of the prefrontal cortex. So, like...
Yeah, man.
Your will to live literally comes from that part of your brain.
Well, because if you don't know what you're doing or why, how do you know who you are, your personality, and how do you know what your goals are?
And
if
you
don't
know give a fuck about
who you are and what you care about and what you like and dislike, then why do you? You might be like, do I like living? You know?
Right. So it controls all of your executive functions, such as planning, decision-making, like Dusty was saying, short-term memory, personality expression, moderating social behavior, and controlling certain aspects of speech and language. AKA, your executive function is what gets fucking haywired when you're neurodivergent.
Yeah. We were talking about ADHD the other day, and it was like this person on a message board in a, you know, an ADHD group where they talk about things, but they also share memes, and that's the primary reason I'm in the group, is for those fresh, tasty memes.
Same. Same, bro.
And they were like, help, my executives are dysfunctioning, and I just imagined all these people in suits running around, like, not doing their jobs. And I was like, that is executive dysfunction, though. That's really what it'd be like.
True. So what executive function does is it gives the person the ability to differentiate conflicting thoughts, determine good from bad, better and best, same and different, future consequences of current activities, working towards defined goals, prediction of outcomes, expectation based on actions, and social control or impulse control.
Yeah. Again. So, you know, like, really basic shit you need to function.
Yep.
And so sometimes, especially if you are neurodivergent, you might feel that, like, sometimes you know you need to do things, but you're paralyzed, you're just sort of stuck sitting there, or stuck doom-scrolling on your phone, or keep playing video games, or whatever, keep laying in bed, whatever it may be, and you're
keep merging your dragons.
I know I need to do this, but I just can't. And other people will be like, well, it's not that hard, just do it. And you're like, you don't understand.
For real, though. And let me tell
it's not that simple!
The best thing I've learned for fucked up executive function is half-ass is better than not-assed at all.
Yes.
Because even then, you can go back and add more to it, and you'll be fine.
Yes.
So, that's what a lobotomy is. That's what you're unplugging.
Yeah, we're just gonna take that and just
whisk it.
Rip it out. Yeah. Cut it off.
We're gonna whisk that up to a nice froth through your eye socket.
It's like instructions for a recipe. Crack the egg, whisk thoroughly, pour out, and serve? Serve hot. I don't know.
A whole fucking mess. So, that's what a lobotomy is. You may be asking yourself, how are they performed?
How are they performed?
It's graphic. I'm really wondering, like, do I want to know how they're performed?
So, trigger warning.
Yeah, this whole episode, trigger warning, we're talking about scrambling someone's brain like it's a part of a recipe. So, the world's first lobotomy was performed in 1935 by a Portuguese neurologist by the name of Antonio Egas Moniz.
Nice.
Yes. His original method involved drilling holes into the skull and pumping absolute alcohol into the frontal cortex, essentially destroying the brain tissue.
Oh, yeah, you know, just pump your brain full of alcohol.
And I'm pretty sure
some people be doing that every damn weekend, though.
The spring break be getting wild.
I have a vivid memory of having wushu classes at the collegiate level for my college students on, I think it was like Tuesdays and Thursdays or something like that. And I had this one student who would make it to Tuesday classes, and then almost every Thursday they'd be like, hey, sorry, I'm not gonna make it. Thirsty Thursdays, you know?
I'm too thirsty for this Thursday.
I was like,
we'll try again next
really
week.
Skipping practice to go drink every week? But, like, some people, that's their college experience. It's
their college calling. Later, Moniz began to use an instrument of his own design called a leucotome.
Yeah, I like leucotome.
That's how I'm going to choose to say that. And it basically just removed chunks of tissue from the frontal lobe of the brain.
Okay, but, like, what does that mean? Like, did it have a grabber? Was it, like, a...
I mean, you can... You Google it.
Like a meat pulverizer? I'm gonna Google it. Katie's like, go on, Google it. I dare you.
I did not Google it, so I'm very curious. So within a year of Moniz's procedure, neurologist Walter Freeman, the one I said we need to Google his age because maybe his prefrontal cortex was not developed.
Could be.
And neurosurgeon James Watts performed the first prefrontal lobotomy in the United States. Although Freeman... Oh, she's gasping. Show me.
He was nominated for a Nobel Prize.
Yeah, I think they took it back.
What the fuck?
Yeah, the whole thing is real fucked, bro.
I was looking for pictures of it, and they were like, the Nobel Foundation. And I was like, excuse me?
Pitch what?
Oh. It's a big, beefy syringe. Ooh. She thick.
To remove so, chunks of tissue.
Yeah, you stick it up. Trigger warning.
The whole thing, trigger warning.
The
trigger
whole warning. Episode.
I mean the whole podcast, really.
Honestly, if you're easily triggered, I don't know why you're here. I mean that with love. You know we love you guys.
And we do.
Some things are triggering for different people, and you might want to skip ahead on certain things, and that's why we give you trigger warnings. But yeah, this one is going to be graphic, especially concerning the brain.
Yep.
So here it is. You stick this large syringe up the nose, and then you, like, you know, you pull the plunger to, like, and take chunks, and then you pull it out, and you, and then you repeat.
Just...
So that's what that is.
Suction it out, gelatinized brain.
Yeah.
Hate it.
Hate it.
Do hate.
Oh, it's so brutal looking. We'll put a photo on the Instagram page for you guys.
Oh, she's real thick.
She chunky. Thicker than a Snicker.
Chonky, dare I say.
Heavy like a Chevy.
Ooh.
Yeah.
It looks like something you'd see in an antique medical store.
Yeah, if you were going around and they were like, and here are some medical instruments from the 1920s, and you'd be like, ah, that has tetanus on it.
That has 100%. Absolutely suctioned brain out through a nose.
I think there's a little bit of brain matter still stuck on the end of it there.
So although Freeman found this procedure great, he wanted to develop a procedure that would be faster and more effective, also requiring fewer resources and specialized tools. Because you know what that means? More money.
More money. I do think it would be a tedious process to do it with the leucotome.
The original lobotomies took a lot more time.
That I support this at all, but...
We're going to talk about time.
Be time-consuming.
Freeman wanted lobotomies to be a more streamlined process, so in 1946, 10 years after performing his first lobotomy in the U.S., Freeman developed a new method called the transorbital lobotomy.
A.K.A. the fast-pass lobotomy.
And I don't know if you guys know what orbital means, but you have an orbital bone in your face... That holds your eyeball in.
Uh-huh.
It's that nice, round, circular. If you feel it, you got high cheekbones, you're gonna feel extra orbitally.
I'm feeling it, and I'm freaked out. Like, you ever just touch your cheekbones and be like, my brain is right behind me.
This is my brain cage.
My eyes are right there.
I feel this way about my teeth very frequently.
You ever just think about the fact that you're a skeleton floating in a meat suit conducted by electricity?
If I think about it too long, I'm like, I'm not going to work because it doesn't matter. This is all a sham anyway.
Exactly, because we're just on a floating rock flying through space.
And my...
Why do I pay taxes?
Why do I pay taxes when I am a sentient meat suit?
Seriously. This has been a PSA.
Hug a sentient meat suit.
Hug a sentient meat suit. And a cryptid. Which is probably another version of a sentient meat suit.
I mean, honestly. So, 10 years after he performed his first lobotomy in the United States, he developed the transorbital lobotomy. Which, instead of drilling... Yeah, I know.
I'm not okay.
We're going to talk about how it happened. So, instead of drilling into the skull to sever the connections in the frontal lobes, All right, this is graphic, guys. Freeman used a hammer to drive an ice pick into his patient's brains through their eye sockets. This is what I considered fluffier. Why am I like this?
This is just a lighter episode, you know.
Hashtag not a murderer.
Hashtag not a murderer. Dude, stuff with the eyes gets me. Eyes and, like, fingernails. Like, you know when you watch a movie and there's, like, a torture scene and they, like, get out those little, like, pliers and they start going for the fingers and I'm like, ah, ah, ah.
Like, or, like, shoving bamboo under the fingernails.
Or the teeth. And they pull out their teeth.
I can't do teeth in any capacity. Ugh. I have nightmares often about my teeth, like, crumbling and turning to dust while I'm talking and it's just like...
So the like crumbling teeth or like losing your teeth is like a very common dream theme, and it's supposed to have something to do with like you feel loss of control or something like that. But
it
I
also often relate to health concerns.
That makes sense to you. Or so it's told. You know, I'm not a dream interpreter, but I've read that before.
I would love to meet one.
Yeah, but I had one once one dream another you know a while back that was a teeth dream, but it was like so bizarre. It was not just crumbling teeth. We were in a grocery store and there was a dentist's office in the back of this grocery store. Because
why
not?
Sounds like Lily's.
Lily's is a Asian supermarket here, and I wouldn't doubt it. They have everything there.
There's randomly like a bougie jewelry store right in the front.
You can get your eyes checked. You can buy, you know, a lobster live from the tank. You can get a new pair of shoes. Like, they have everything.
So Freeman used the hammer to drive an ice pick into his patient's brains through their eye socket. Once the ice pick was inside, he literally just, like, jiggled it around to sever the nerves.
Just stirring it up, you know. Yep.
Just a good scramble.
Get some spices in there.
Make an ash.
It'll be good. Yeah.
So it would sever the nerves connecting the prefrontal cortex to the thalamus.
The other thing, all of these medical terms, it makes me think of Fight Club. It's like... I am Jack's prefrontal cortex.
Yes.
I am Jack's hippocampus.
This adapted procedure became known as the, quote, ice pick lobotomy.
It's a good band name.
True.
I call it.
I'm here for it. I can see it all in, like, metal letters.
Yeah.
So his first transorbital lobotomy was done with a literal fucking ice pick. He later went on to make his own instrument based on the ice pick's design, the orbitoclast.
Guess what I'm Googling now.
Which we are going to fucking Google. While the prefrontal lobotomy took over an hour, Freeman's transorbital lobotomy could be done in 10 minutes or less. 10 minutes. First of all, I want you to, if you're going to have to do anything with my brain, it fucking better take hours. And you better be highly skilled.
Set up a goddamn drive-through lane.
10 minutes or, oh dude, no, they literally had...
Can we talk about this one, though? Like, there's one that clearly depicts the patient in pain as they get an ice pick drilled into their eye.
You want to know why they were in pain?
Because that shit hurts.
Because it did not require anesthesia.
Excuse me, what?
It did not require anesthesia.
It did not require it?
It did not require anesthesia.
Can we talk about what require means real quick, just to refresh my memory. What?
That means he didn't give them no medicine.
Not even like, here's a shot of whiskey before I drive this through your forehead.
Oh, it's so much worse, bro.
No, nothing.
It's so much worse.
God damn.
Patients were knocked out before the operation using ECT, which, if you're unaware, stands for electroconvulsive therapy. Thus, it could be performed outside of a hospital.
Oh.
They would literally electrocute you until you were unconscious and then lobotomize you.
Yeah. So let me just, before, you know, we get into the main event, like driving an ice pick through your fucking eye, let's just, like, ease into it with some fucking electrocution. You know,
foreplay.
Real casual. It'll be fine. It'll be over before you know it.
I don't
so
like
now,
it.
So now, not only do you got to get an ice pick driven through your eye... You got to get electrocuted, too?
Because we ain't even gonna numb you.
Because why would we do that? I also like that they're like, I'm a man of science. I'm a doctor. I'm going to heal these people. I have an ice pick. Like,
honestly,
like, how do you go from that to that?
And how did no one ever question if you were a fucking murderer?
Yeah. Yeah. Also, what was this dude's name again? Walter Freeman.
I'm low-key wanting to do an entire episode about, like, outdated medical practices in regards to mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Especially through the, like, 20s to 50s. Because that shit's fucked. We electrocuted so many people.
Mm-hmm.
For, like, hysteria, which is women being like, I have cramps.
Right.
Or for being homosexual. Like, yeah. The treatment of people were fucking insane back then.
So you wanted to know when he started...
How old was he when he did his first lobotomy? Like, was his freedom... His free...
Holy shit. This dude lived for fucking ever. He was 76 when he died.
Damn.
He was born in 1895.
Like, the lifespan back then was not nothing, so for that...
18. Like, you know how people, like... They're making the joke now, if you're, like, an elder millennial, like,
you pull out your ID, and they're like, it's fine, I can see the one.
Yeah. You're like, oh, were you born in the 1900s? I'm like, shut the fuck up.
You're not funny. That hurts my feelings.
So he's got an 18 at the front, and then he died in 1972. That's crazy.
Word.
Complications of cancer, it says.
We're
I'm still trying to find out how old he was when he did this.
You said he died in 72?
Yeah.
He was 37.
There you go.
Prefrontal cortex was developed, unfortunately.
So, he was fully aware of what he was doing. But yeah, maybe he is just like a serial killer or somebody who like gets off on causing people pain. And he was like, yeah, this is all in the name of, like, science. I want to help these people. But then, you know, really, he's, like, getting his jollies.
So many fucked things have happened in science. And not, trust me, I believe in science.
Yeah.
I do. I'm also a little scared of it because of shit like people getting their brains scrambled because they thought it was for the best.
Or, like, the ethics and morals that we have in place now for certain experimentation that were not in place prior to this.
Word.
Like, hey, you can't just, like, experiment on kids. It's not cool. Like, when did we finally, as a society, come to this decision? Probably too little too late.
Yeah. Well, and then it makes you really wonder, like, alright, well, if it hasn't been tested on kids, then is it safe?
Right.
I don't know.
Like, right now, with Katie being pregnant, it's, like, everything on it says, like, do not use if you are pregnant or nursing, because we don't know if it's gonna mess up anything with the pregnancy, because we haven't tested it on pregnant people, because we don't want to accidentally mess something up.
Yep. And I'm like, well, guess I ain't doing your treatment no more. Yeah. Sorry about that.
Better safe than sorry.
Honestly. So, why, Dusty, this is an interview question, why do you think lobotomies were performed? I mean, you're looking at my notes, but...
I mean, sometimes bitches be crazy. No, I'm just kidding. That was definitely a joke.
I'm over here like, yeah, dog, yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, we talked about, like, the, you know, people thinking, oh, well, she's hysterical. That whole term just bothers me because it comes from, like, the reference of the womb. Like, how hysterectomy is, you know, that surgery, that procedure to remove the uterus. And so it's like, oh, she's crazy. Well, what does that mean? Well, basically it boils down to she's a woman. So she's a woman? So yes, she's crazy. So she's crazy. So yes, she's a woman. It's like, fuck you.
The number of times I've either been diagnosed as female or fat is appalling.
Right?
Appalling. Guys, I have a fucking autoimmune disease. And they're like, I don't know, you're just fat.
I hate that. Or when their first go-to is like, well, have you thought about like losing some weight? And it's like, I'm not here for a weight issue. The issue I'm having is unrelated to weight. Like, why don't you try helping me with the actual problem I'm having instead of just going for the low-hanging fruit there of like, have you thought about losing weight?
Have you thought about going to fuck yourself?
Right. You know how else you can lose weight? By just, like, lobbing off a limb. Look, I lost some weight. What's an arm? Like, 5 pounds? At least.
I mean, I think every client that gets divorced that I have is like, I just lost 250 pounds.
Uh-huh. dead weight.
Okay, but real talk. Lobotomies were performed mostly... One of the biggest reasons was there was just an absence of effective treatments. Antipsychotic drugs were not available until the mid-1950s, and people were desperate to do something or really anything to help people with severe mental illness.
And you couldn't be going to that Dr. H.H. Holmes guy.
No shit. Never come back. You'd end up cut up in 42 different hotels.
You don't want those drugs.
Sure don't. Most commonly, it was used to treat people with major depressive disorder, or MDD, more specifically with those who suffered with both MDD and suicidal ideation. It was also a treatment that would be used for obsessive compulsive disorder, aka OCD, or schizophrenia.
Those are all such different things, and it kills me that they were like, this is the treatment for all of them.
This is the one. The other, there's a few fucked up reasons why these were done too. Overcrowded institutions being one of them.
Oof.
In 1937, there were more than 450,000 patients in 477 mental institutions.
That's like 500,000 people.
Yeah. In 477 institutions.
Just imagine, okay, I hate using this example, but also this is what comes to mind, and this is why I can't go to, like, pet stores sometimes. When you go to certain pet stores, which shall not be named, and you go to the, like, aquarium, like, the fish section, and you see that one tank with, like, 1,000 little baby goldfish in it, and they're all just in there, like, packed, just like, oh. That's probably what being in one of these institutions felt like. Yep. Just, like, people everywhere.
Dead one floating around.
Yeah.
Other ones eating it.
Where are you gonna sleep? Are you gonna go on that bed where that possible body is? Is that person alive? Is that bed clean? Are you gonna sleep on the floor? Or are you gonna try and find somewhere else to go? And can you even go anywhere else, depending on, like, what their security was like and the orderlies? Because we know these people were being mistreated in these facilities, too.
There were a lot of not the right people in those places for, like, all of the wrong reasons.
Yeah, like, willful abuse and neglect to the point of some people dying. A lot of people dying.
Again, like I said, I think I definitely absolutely want to do an episode on the institutions and stuff from, like, the 20s to 50s-ish.
Yeah.
Like, until the development of medication. Because, holy hell, this is fucking horrifying.
Yeah.
And I feel like it just needs to be talked about.
Yeah.
Lobotomies were basically used just to calm unruly patients and make them easier to manage, thus making the majorly overcrowded institution overall easier to manage.
Yeah, because if they're brain dead, they can't cause as many problems. Are you fucking kidding me? That's... ugh.
Yeah. So they're just basically going to turn you into a, for lack of a better term, a vegetable.
A zombie, yeah.
Just so that you're more compliant.
I hate that.
And the third reason, which everybody's influenced by, unfortunately, is the media.
Our good old friend, the media.
We love the media here. I mean, this is media, technically, but...
But this isn't the man's media.
Alright. I'm unbiased. I'm biased as fuck. Who am I kidding? So at the time, the media was able to influence surgical indications, which, like, I feel like they kind of still are.
Mm-hmm.
And the lobotomy was seen as magic and heroic.
Dude, on that point, there was a, like, 15-minute news spot on, like, the weekend news the other day about, like, the best spots on your face to get Botox. So, like, yeah, don't tell me that media doesn't influence surgical implications.
Yep.
How many people went and got lip filler after, like, you know, the Kardashians? Or how many people went and got booty filler after the Kardashians?
Right?
Like, absolutely influencing things.
So the media was telling people that you could use a lobotomy to treat anything from depression to nervous indigestion. The bubble guts.
Because as we all know, your brain and your stomach are the same thing.
Your brain and your butthole are directly connected.
Absolutely.
You could get a fucking lobotomy for getting the anxiety shits.
That's crazy, dude.
And, like, literally everything in between. They're like,
yeah.
Oh, you're depressed? You got bubble guts?
Oh, you got a rash under your
armpit?
You're a woman? Yeah.
Yeah.
You're losing your hair? Let's can't get it up for your wife anymore.
Scramble your shit up.
Let's just take a screwdriver and just...
Dink, dink, dink. You're fine.
That is so fucked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Itch.
Dusty has fleas.
My dog has fleas.
Guys, I titled my notes for this, Lobotomy for My Dog and Me.
In case you weren't aware, Katie has the best podcast names for her notes. Like, my notes are always titled, like, Season 3, Episode 1, H.H. Holmes, or whatever. Like, it's very type A, like, very organized, direct. Like, I'm... would be able to find this if I needed to just by quickly searching it. And Katie's are like, the king has left the building. Lobotomy for my dog and me. Birds aren't fucking real, man. Those fake fucking birds.
Avian foes. I'm full of bullshit.
Operation Very Large Bird.
Poor Big Bird couldn't be involved.
He had to decline to appear.
Actually, legal's gonna have to take over on this one.
His publicist said it's a no-go. So. Negative association.
Yeah!
Yeah!
So, after you get the surgery, what happens? Are you cured? You think you're cured, Dusty?
Yeah.
Did you lose your spot?
No. My computer's doing something weird. I got a new computer, which is really exciting, because my computer died, which is really sad. But I am either pressing something that I'm not meaning to, or something else is changing, and it's like the screen settings. So you know how there's like Vivid and Pro and Default? So it's like whoop, whoop, whoop while I'm trying to read the notes, and I'm like, ah!
This flashing may cause me issues here.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, definitely, I think, absolutely, 100%, if you just, like, scramble up the front part of your brain like an egg, that would solve all your problems.
You no longer get the poo-poos.
Yeah.
No more BGs. No more anxiety shits. No more being a woman.
Yeah.
Stirred that right up.
It's just gone. Everything just, like Thanos. You just simply cease. I imagine it would be like being one of those frogs that just sits on a rock and doesn't know why they're sitting on a rock, and they're just like, kind of at peace, you know?
Tell me why I'm like, that doesn't sound so bad.
Doesn't sound so
I
bad,
fucking
actually.
Hate frogs.
No fucking bills.
I wanna be a lizard on a rock.
No traffic on my commute to work, just sitting on a rock.
No taxes.
Yeah, man.
Sounds like the fucking life. Except I don't want you to have to stir up my brain through my eyeball together.
No, don't get a lobotomy. Hashtag don't get a lobotomy.
Please.
This has been a PSA.
So, patients of lobotomies immediately following the surgery were often described as stuporous, confused, and incontinent. If it causes incontinence, why did you do it for the bubble guts?
Yeah.
Don't make no sense. Some patients developed an enormous appetite and gained considerable amounts of weight. Seizures were also another common
complication. It would eliminate lots of your inhibitions.
Yeah.
Like, much the same way that, like, people who want to, like, loosen up a little bit will have a few drinks when they go out and socialize with people, too.
And you know what you do once you realize that you're not as fucking cute as you thought you were when you were drinking? When you look in the mirror and realize what a melted swamp witch you've become, the next thing you want to do... is eat.
Or, like, you know, that feeling of being full, or that feeling of, like, I should probably stop eating now. So, yeah, if they had an enormous appetite, maybe they were even feeling hungry constantly, because the thing in their brain that tells you, like, okay, stop eating now, we're getting full, is, like, done. Gone.
Well, and I'm sure plenty of people, myself included, who have ADD or ADHD can attest to when your executive function's fucked up. Guess what? The dopamine receptors in your brain don't work the same either.
And you'd be like, you know what'll give me some dopamine?
Chocolate and
these
cheese.
These Girl Scout cookies right
chocolate
now.
Chocolate and cheese, motherfucker. Chocolate and cheese.
Or if you're me going to the boba shop for the fifth time this week.
Okay. I've had a real, real pregnancy craving for boba, so it's a date.
We're going.
Okay. Emphasis was put on caregivers, quote, training patients in the weeks and months following their surgery. you gotta get reprogrammed, essentially. British psychiatrist Maurice Partridge.
Yeah.
I really had to think about it.
Sometimes your brain looks at a word and goes, huh?
Or I'm like, Partridge. Like, Patrick.
I've read this word before, Partridge. But yeah, it's just not... Or, like, for me, it's kind of late. Partridge. My brain was like, Partridge.
Pope, yes.
Not full ridge.
Not Popeyes.
Not Popeyes.
Pope, yes.
Pope, yes.
So, this guy Maurice.
My guy.
Could be a woman. Woman named Maurice. I don't know the gender of that name.
Like, you know what? Names don't even have gender as true. Far as I'm concerned.
I don't see a wiener on it, so. They conducted a follow-up study of 300 lobotomy patients and said that the treatment... Cool story, bro.
Wow, it's a pretty loud dirt bike you got there.
Nice little fart cannon. He conducted a follow-up study of 300 lobotomy patients and said that the treatment achieved its effects by, quote, reducing the complexity of psychic life.
I'll fucking say... You reduced it to nothing, my guy.
You reduced it to you have no executive function.
You have no thoughts, basically. Or you have...
You fucking unplugged their will to live!
Like, the complexity has literally ceased to exist.
Left the fucking building.
Wow. How do you just say shit like that and take yourself seriously? I don't... Like, what?
Well, I mean, he was just doing a follow-up study of, like, hey, maybe this is not a great idea.
Yeah. Okay, I won't go after Maurice that hard.
I think he was trying to shine some light here.
He was trying to uncover the truth, man.
Or she, you know. Or they. Yeah. Or whoever.
You know. Whoever Partridge.
So, following the operation...
Spontaneity.
Thanks. Responsiveness, self-awareness, and self-control were dramatically reduced.
Again, I'll fucking say.
Right? The activity was replaced by inertia, which, like, I don't want to feel that. That sounds like drinking too much.
Hmm.
And people were mostly left emotionally blunted and restricted in their intellectual range.
You don't say.
Which, like, they just wanted help. This shit makes me so sad.
Well, and, like... I understand that it was a different time, but how do you not think that that's... How did you not kind of even guess a little bit that that's what would fucking happen? How could you maybe not be like, after, what did he say he did the follow-up study on? 300 patients? Like, so I guess these are the results we're gonna get every fucking time we do this. Like, that's like how they still test the effects of... cancer smoke, or cigarette smoke on beagles.
Literally cancer.
And they're like, it gives them cancer, and we're like, we've fucking known that for decades, bro.
Why beagles?
Stop, because beagles are extremely docile and will do pretty much anything that you tell them, because they're great dogs. So that's why beagles are most often used for testing.
That's so sad.
It is also, super sad.
Can I just say, I think I've met maybe one docile beagle and the rest of them were fucking psychopaths.
Probably because they were like, don't test on me, motherfucker! Boo-woo!
Awoo!
My favorite beagle we ever had at the doggy daycare place where I worked was this little beagle named Ruby.
I remember Ruby.
Ruby would just, everybody would say it, they'd say Ruby just marches to the beat of her own drum, and she really did. She'd just, like, beat bopping in her room, doing her own thing. You'd take her out for playtime, and the other dogs would be like, hey, you want to play? And she'd just be, like, beat bopping in the corner.
Word.
She was super cute. She was one of those, like, teeny tiny beagles, and she was just precious. But yeah, go rescue a beagle, or just rescue any dog. Rescue any animal. Like, yeah. It's fucked that there's still animal testing in the world.
I don't fucking get it. The consequences of the operation have been described as, quote, mixed.
Mixed.
Mixed. Some patients died as a result of the operation, others later committed suicide.
Yeah.
Completed suicide.
Because their will to live had been eliminated.
Yep. I don't know which is the right way to say that. I think it's completed suicide.
Yeah.
Some were left severely brain damaged, which, like, you damaged the brain, so they are brain damaged. Literally. That is correct. Others were able to leave the hospital or became more manageable within the hospital. A few people managed to return to responsible work, while at the other extreme, people were left with severe and disabling impairments.
Wow. Can you imagine being able to return to work after that? Like, in what capacity?
And it's like, just return to responsible work.
Responsible work.
What is responsible work?
I don't know, man. I certainly wouldn't want to be responsible for anything or anyone if part of my brain had been removed or damaged that badly.
Word.
I'd be like, you know what? Let me just live out the rest of my days on a rock. I'm a frog.
Honestly. Most people fell into an intermediate group, which left some with improvement of their symptoms, but also with emotional and intellectual deficits. Which, like, yeah, unplugged their brain. So, it tracks. On average, there was a mortality rate of approximately 5% during the 1940s.
That's actually huge.
That's only in 10 years. Jesus. In the 1940s. The lobotomy procedure could have severe negative effects on a patient's personality and ability to function independently. Patients also often showed a marked reduction in initiative and inhibition, like we were saying earlier, that part of the brain is just essentially being unplugged. They also may exhibit difficulty showing empathy because of the decreased cognition and detachment from society.
Yeah, it's harder to relate to people, and so if you were to, like, see someone going through something difficult or having a strong emotional reaction, you would just not even really, it wouldn't really register. You'd just be like, oh, yeah. We do this sometimes where, it's sort of, like, built in as, like, the social-emotional learning part of lessons that I do sometimes, where we'll, like, maybe look at a picture or watch a video and we'll be like, how do you think this person is feeling? Or we'll read a story and we'll be like, how do you think X character felt when that happened? And, you know, most of the kids will be like, this way! And then there's always a few kids that are like, I don't know. And it's like, that's okay, that's why we're talking about this right now. But yeah, kind
of... I want you to think of that happening to you. And how would it make you feel?
It's really difficult for some people. Yeah. Either from a standpoint of neurodivergence, or maybe they are really young and sheltered and haven't had a whole lot of experience with other people yet. Mm-hmm. Or, in this case, they've had a fucking lobotomy.
Right? Walter Freeman, I fucking hate this part, I'm sorry guys. He ended up coining the term surgically induced childhood.
What?
Yep. And used it constantly to refer to the results of lobotomy procedures. The operation left people with a, quote, infantile personality. And then following the procedure, a period of maturation would, apparently, according to Freeman, lead to recovery.
How?
I have no idea.
How do you recover from a lobotomy? Dr. Freeman, and I use the term doctor very loosely here. Please explain.
I'll wait.
Yeah.
In an unpublished memoir, he described how the personality of the patient was changed in some way in the hope of rendering him more amenable to the social pressures under which he is supposed to exist.
I mean, how do you think of the word, you know, more amenable to society or, you know, to the social pressures of which it's exactly what they were saying earlier of like, well, they're easier to manage now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they're not really a person anymore. You've removed their personality, their thoughts and feelings.
Their fucking will to live.
Their actions, everything. Like, you've turned them into a houseplant, essentially. Like, yes, it's easier to manage because...
You just gotta remember to water them. Not the same
person anymore.
Yep. He described one 29-year-old woman as being, following her lobotomy, a, quote, smiling, lazy, and satisfactory patient with the personality of an oyster.
Wow, what a douchebag.
Yeah. She could not remember Freeman's name and endlessly poured coffee from an empty pot. When her parents had difficulty dealing with her behavior, Freeman advised a system of rewards, aka ice cream, and punishment, aka smacks.
That is disgusting.
Fucking horrible. So.
Not to mention that, like, he says that she was a satisfactory patient, but then they had difficulty dealing with her behavior. And going back to what we were talking about at the beginning of this episode, and of course I'm not relating children to people who have been lobotomized, but we were talking about the development of the prefrontal cortex.
Yep.
And how that's in charge of decision-making and forethought. So, like, kids do things because they, like, didn't think about what they were doing, they didn't know what was going to happen, and they didn't have the forethought or the ability to predict what might happen. Like, mm-hmm. you're climbing up this tree, and as an adult, in your head, you're going, I could slip, I could fall, I could
you're
break
gonna
fall my arm,
break your neck.
The branch could break, you know, all of these different things. That's not happening in an undeveloped brain.
Nope.
It's not. And so, when they're like, they had difficulty dealing with her behavior because she's not able to regulate that any longer. You've taken away her ability to be like, is this something that's going to get me an ice cream or a smack? Like, how can you punish somebody for something they are incapable of controlling? Also, like, I'm going to smack you every time you blink, even though that is an involuntary action on your part.
That blurs a scary fucking line, too,
yeah.
because so many people after their lobotomies became very violent.
That's, oh my god.
And that point, if you're violent, you don't know, you can't determine what happens if I'm choking this person.
Mm-hmm.
You don't plug together that they stop breathing to you're mad.
Yeah. Or even, you know, like, you're witnessing some sort of violence,
mm-hmm.
and you don't know, like, does this have to do with me? Like, that whole empathy thing and, like, right and wrong, decision makings, same, different, bad, good. Like, what other sorts of crimes were these people privy to that they were just basically, like, an invisible person or an othered person because of their condition and what had been done to them?
Yep. So, if you're wondering how many people were subjected to lobotomies, how long did it happen for? In the United States, approximately 40,000 people were lobotomized.
Jeez, that's so many!
In England, 17,000. That was just in the United States, 40,000.
We're number one. We're number one.
We're technically number two compared to Scandinavian hospitals, but we'll get to that. In England, 17,000 lobotomies were performed. In Denmark, Norway, and Sweden, they had a combined figure of about 9,300 lobotomies. Scandinavian hospitals lobotomized 2.5 times as many people per capita in hospitals than in the U.S. So, like, fewer, but also way more densely done.
Yeah.
Sweden lobotomized at least 4,500 people between 1944 and 1966, mainly women. This figure also includes young children. Like, they weren't just doing this to adults, they were also doing this to very small children who, like, by all means, were just, as they would say, difficult to deal with.
See, that's even more, and I know I say this every time kids come up, but, like, that's even more fucked up to me. Like,
yes.
Of course we shouldn't be performing lobotomies on grown adults either.
No.
But, like, how are you going to take a child and do that to them?
Yep, just because they're quote-unquote difficult. In Norway, there were 2,005 known lobotomies. In Denmark, there was about 4,500. In Japan, the majority of lobotomies were performed on children with behavior problems.
What?
The Soviet Union banned the practice in 1950 on moral grounds, and in Germany it was performed only a few times.
Hmm.
By the late 1970s, the practice of lobotomy had generally ceased, although it continued as late as the 1980s in France.
Oh my god, that's terrifying.
Yep. 1980s.
Can you imagine 1 minute you're going to see Susie and the Banshees in concert, and the next minute you're a frog on a rock?
Yep. There's a, I believe there's still at least a couple of lobotomy survivors today. I kind of left that part out because I was getting pretty beefy with these notes, and I wanted it to be a little lighter, a little fluffier, a little shorter.
Yeah.
Also, one of the Kennedys was lobotomized.
Oh, Rosemary Kennedy.
Rosemary Kennedy. And
she experienced seizures and violent mood swings.
Yeah, it went really bad for her.
Oh, that's so unfortunate.
I mean, I don't know many lobotomies that went well, but there you have it, friends. Just the tip of the ice pick about lobotomies. It's It's not funny, but I tried.
It's that dark humor that you've all come to know and love from us here at the Eldridge Estate.
Let us know if you want us to do an episode on mental institutions and all the wild, fucked up treatments of mental illness or just illness in general, because the medical field is oddly terrifying and fascinating.
Other outdated medical practices, medical instruments. I do kind of, this sounds awful, I do kind of want to do one on, like, medical instruments and, like, torture instruments from, like, you know,
I'm in.
Back in the day.
Bro.
Like the Iron Maiden and shit like that.
Do you know why the chainsaw was invented?
No.
I need you to grab your device right now, and I want you to live react to this on the podcast, because this is the most horrifying shit we're about to learn on the Eldridge Estate.
Literally, I type in, why was the ch, and my phone was like, oh my god.
It's fucking horrifying, guys. Dusty, why was the chainsaw invented?
Two doctors invented the chainsaw in 1780 to make the removal of pelvic bone easier and less time-consuming during childbirth. It was powered by a hand crank and looked like a modern-day kitchen knife with little teeth on a chain that wound in an oval.
So I'm just gonna say right now, I'm thankful for my doctors. I'm very thankful that I'm gonna be able to get this needle poked into my spine.
Modern medicine.
Hallelujah.
How far we've come.
How far we've come. I think I just ruined Dusty's night.
I'm gonna be thinking about this all night.
Sorry, bro.
The removal of pelvic bone to make it easier and less time consuming.
Okay, what year was that developed?
1780.
When did anesthesia become developed?
We're just constantly Googling shit on this podcast, but...
I'm gonna horrify you more, because I think it became a thing.
When was anesthesia invented?
John Collins Warren made history on October 16, 1846, with the first successful surgical procedure performed with anesthesia.
Well, you know, about 60 years later. That was the first successful surgical procedure performed with anesthesia yet, though.
They chainsawed women's pelvises during childbirth, which, like, childbirth is really fucking painful to begin with.
Before there were medicines to sedate and soothe patients, there was opium, mandrake juice, and hypnosis. In 1811, English novelist Fanny Burney underwent a mastectomy without so much as a shot of whiskey to dim the pain.
What the fuck? Okay, we're doing an episode on that.
It's happening.
It is.
You heard it here. Send us a listener tale.
Please, not about a fucking chainsaw.
Yeah, or a lobotomy.
Or childbirth. I can't handle any childbirth right now, guys.
Leave off on the childbirth stories until after the childbirth of baby Eldridge. Alright, that's it for this time. We'll catch you guys in the next episode. Thank you, as always, for listening. And remember, you can check out anytime you like, but you can never leave.